How Paul handled sexual immorality. The apostle knew that among his hearers in Corinth would be proud believers in human theories who would hope to find in nature theories that would contradict the scriptures. He also knew that critics would controvert the Christian interpretation of the word and that skeptics would treat the gospel of Christ with derision. As he endeavored to lead souls to the cross, Paul did not venture to rebuke directly those who were licentious or to show how heinous was their sin in the sight of a holy God. Rather, he dwelt especially on practical godliness and the holiness to which those must attain who shall be accounted worthy of a place in God's kingdom. In the light of the gospel of Christ, they might see how offensive in the sight of God were their immoral practices. Therefore, the burden of his teaching was Christ and him crucified. The philosopher turns aside from the light because it puts his proud theories to shame. The worldling refuses it because it would separate him from his idols. Paul saw that the character of Christ must be understood before men could love him or view the cross with the eye of faith. In the light of the cross alone can the true value of the human soul be estimated. The refining influence of the grace of God changes the natural disposition of man. Heaven would not be desirable to the carnal-minded, and if it were possible for them to enter, they would find there nothing congenial. The propensities that control the natural heart must be subdued by the grace of Christ before man is fitted to enjoy the society of the pure, holy angels. Paul had sought to impress his Corinthian brethren that he and the ministers with him were all engaged in the same work, alike dependent on God for success. The discussion in the church regarding the relative merits of different ministers was the result of cherishing the attributes of the natural heart. For when one says, "I belong to Paul," and another, "I belong to Apollos," are you not merely men? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. RSV. It was Paul who at first preached the gospel in Corinth and organized the church. The seed sown must be watered, and this Apollos was to do. He gave further instruction, but it was God who gave the increase. Those who plant and those who water do not cause the growth of the seed. To the master worker belongs the honor and glory that comes with success. God has given to each of his messengers an individual work. All are to blend in harmony, controlled by the Holy Spirit. As they make known the gospel, the human instrumentality is hid, and Christ appears as the chiefest among 10,000, the one altogether lovely. We are fellow workmen for God, you are God's field, God's building, RSV. The apostle compares the church to a cultivated field and also to a building, which is to grow into a temple for the Lord. He gives his workmen tact and skill, and if they heed his instruction, crowns their efforts with success. God's servants are to work together, blending in kindly, courteous order, in honor preferring one another. There is to be no pulling to pieces of another's work, and there are to be no separate parties. Each is to do his appointed work, respected, loved, and encouraged by the others. Together they are to carry the work forward to completion.